Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday to you, week five in the NFL. All right, we're almost done, Cleveland and San Francisco, but it's already produced one firing. It's being reported that Washington is going to fire Jay Gruden, or has fired Jay Gruden. He said at the end of the game in another loss, this time to the Patriots, now 0-5, he said, what do you think about your job security? He says, Monday morning, if the key works, we get back to work. Well, Monday morning's here, and the key's not going to work. So he's done. 0-5 for the Redskins. Kind of a mess, kind of a disaster. But, you know, listen, was he expected to beat the New England Patriots? So I'm certain Daniel Snyder knew, or if he even at least had an idea of where the season was going. They weren't going to beat the Patriots. Even if they played pretty well, they probably weren't going to beat the Patriots. So he probably knew way before that game started that he was going to fire Jay Gruden, regardless, unless there was a miracle of them beating New England. But he had three quarterbacks. He used Colt McCoy. He got sacked six times. They went up 7-0, and he gave up 33 straight points. But he's not the only coach today that has to be a little worried. If you're Dan Quinn in Atlanta, how long do you have there? That's a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and now they're 1-4. Not only are they 1-4, but their defense, which is supposed to be led by a defensive-minded guy. So when your defensive-minded coach calls defensive plays for your football team, and the defense gives up 53 points to Houston, and you fall to 1-4, in which, despite the fact that they lost Keanu Neal, injuries haven't been a huge factor for the Falcons like they were a year ago. What is Arthur Blank supposed to think about this? You're just going to let the Matt Ryan window close on without another run towards a championship? I mean, you go to a Super Bowl and there's a feeling like things now, you may not win it. You gave up you're up 28-3, you lose. But you know what? There's a feeling like maybe we've turned the corner now to a respectable championship-level franchise. And since then, it has not been the case. So Jay Gruden is out. Does Dan Quinn have that much longer in Atlanta? There were a lot of great performances on Sunday. Great numerical performances, sort of fantasy-esque performances. We'll get into those coming up on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us here on a Monday, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Ron is back from moving over the weekend.
I'm never going to stop moving.
Well, it's true. Too much stuff.
I just feel like it's never ending.
Accumulation of too much stuff over the years.
Just when I think I'm done, I find more stuff I need to move.
I know. I was in the same boat. I moved a lot and I finally went, that's it. Oh, God, I got to figure out a way to stop this. What a mess.
You know what? I always feel bad for these people, but I think sometimes just burning your house down would be great. You don't have to worry about anything. Just burn it to the ground, collect a big check, and then you're done.
All right, so yesterday, I was saying earlier that there were some really great performances yesterday in the NFL. I mean, like Christian McCaffrey had 3 touchdowns for the Panthers. He was fantastic.
Yeah, but he ruined our guy's day.
But he ruined Gardner Minshew's day, and Gardner Minshew had a good day.
He did.
Statistically, he was great. He had 370 yards passing with 2 touchdowns, no picks, and a good game between the Panthers and the Jaguars.
Who would have thunk that?
Deshaun Watson, 5 touchdowns, just carving up the Falcons' defense.
Pedestrian.
Will Fuller had 3 touchdown catches for 217 yards. That's another big fantasy explosion. Yep.
Aren't you glad you sat him?
I'm glad I sat him.
I'm talking
to
all you fantasy football players out there.
Aaron Jones, 4 touchdown runs for the Green Bay Packers and a win against the Cowboys.
Yeah, you. I mean,
I'm not even getting this. I'm not even getting to like some of the other good ones.
Aaron Jones just ran all over the Cowboys.
Over the Cowboys.
It was like they did not have a run defense at all yesterday.
All over. Josh Jacobs had 123 yards rushing for the Raiders and 2 touchdowns. Let's see. I'm trying to
London factor for you.
But then there were some bad performances. The Tennessee Titans yesterday missed four field goals. Yeah,
I didn't even realize they played.
They played Buffalo. They lose to Buffalo. Cairo Santos missed 4 field goals. I felt so bad for him. And the only thing I kept thinking of, and this is this wrong? Because I was ready to kind of throw it out for my Tennessee friends. I was waiting for the Carly Lloyd could kick for the Tennessee Titans starting on Tuesday.
Yep.
I was waiting for that to pop up.
Nothing wrong about that.
Right? I was like, I thought that would be funny, but they were so distraught. This kid goes out there, can't kick a field goal.
He's not a kid. He's been around the league for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, but they're all kids to me.
He used to be nails for the Chiefs.
Sure he was. Just can't kick now. Just
can't kick now.
Unemployed as
it's that bad Nashville wind.
That's right. It rained really heavy in the morning, but the field was in pretty good shape. But he had no excuse. He missed 4 of them. Buffalo is a weird team because I was settling into that game, and I'm like, I want to see the Bills. They're 3-1. They stink offensively. But defensively, you can't do anything against them. I swear that defense is the best in the NFL. I don't know what the statistics are. I don't get into super numbers and super analytics. I just know that defense is great.
Wait, I thought you
really,
said,
really good. It must be the best in the league.
I thought you just said the Falcons had the best defense in the league.
See, the Falcons, oh my God. Arthur Blank seems like a really nice guy, doesn't he? Every time I see him on interviews.
And once, what he's said already about Dan Quinn, we'll wait and see what happens. But
yeah.
He's not going to make a coaching change.
No, we're not going to make a coaching change. But what else do you have if you have Dan Quinn as your head coach? What do you have? He's supposed to be this defensive guru.
Yep.
Okay, great. So this year,
the creator of Legion of Boom.
He calls plays. He's the play caller for the defense. And if you have a defense that gives up 53 points against the Texans, doesn't sack Deshaun Watson, he throws 5 touchdowns and 426 yards, you would immediately go, hey, who's calling the defense? Oh, it's our head coach. He's calling the defense. Oh, and didn't we hire him because he was supposed to be a defensive guru? Oh, this isn't working. You're not going to, you didn't hire him to take Matt Ryan to the next level. This is silly. I mean, Dan, if you can't get the Falcons to be one of the elite defenses in the NFL, goodbye. See ya. Good luck. Go find a defensive coordinator position somewhere now. But you're not a head coach anymore. Get out of here. I mean, this is massively disappointing for the Falcons. They were just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. My God. I mean, and they haven't been anything since blowing that lead to the Patriots. Been a mess. They got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. What's that done? Nothing. Since that Super Bowl run, nothing. 1-4.
No, it actually, I mean, if you look at it on paper, they have the best quarterback wide receiver combos. They're 3 wide receivers, Sanu and Calvin Ridley. I mean, that's the best of the best.
I do want to I want to amend this. I got a little excited. The Falcons did make the playoffs the next year after losing the Super Bowl, but they lost to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who went on to win it. But
I got a little carried away. But my overall point is, what is Dan Quinn doing as your head coach if he can't get the defense right and that's his bread and butter? If that's your bread, you let the Texans play. You let the Texans treat you like if you were a college football cupcake. I mean, those are numbers you would see Texas put on somebody, right? Not the Houston Texans. They're not supposed to score 53 against a Dan Quinn defense. Please. Broncos got their first win of the season. Yeah.
Why? Why'd you bring that up?
I don't know. Just because it sucked.
Yeah. God.
Just throw it out there.
Game,
by the way, that game was, there was only 2 afternoon football games, late afternoon football games on yesterday.
Yeah.
2. And the NFL gave almost anybody that was playing, everybody was getting the early game because they were all on the East Coast and, you know, Central Time Zone and whatnot. So they only had the Broncos and the Chargers and the Packers and the Cowboys. So essentially, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman do a nationally televised game between the Packers and the Cowboys.
Of course.
Because that's the way, you know, the league would want it. They know the Packers are extremely popular. The Cowboys are very, very popular. And so they load it up and they say, well, those of you in Denver and L.A., you'll get this game. But everybody else will get Packers, Cowboys. So, but Denver did get its first win of the season. The Packers were out, 31-3. Are we now seeing Dallas as, hey, if you stink, the Cowboys will be more than happy to beat you, but if you've got any goodness in you at all, Dallas is going to struggle. Is that the read on the Cowboys now?
I think so.
Like, we could beat up on the Giants, we'll beat up on the Redskins, we'll beat up on the Dolphins, but when we play a team with a winning record,
you almost get the feeling that they'll win the NFC East, no problem. But I just get the feeling like they're almost becoming the Bengals in the sense that they'll make the playoffs but lose.
Maybe so, yeah. But no, the Eagles are now 3-2. They're tied with Dallas, so maybe they're not going to run away with that division.
Well, it's because the Cowboys can't beat good teams.
Right, can't beat good teams.
And I had no answer for the Packers yesterday.
I know, nothing. 31-3 at one point. Then they come back a little bit. Then they put up some touchdowns, but they didn't. It's too much.
I think it was the Packers. The Packers, I think, took a step back and said, you know, let's just try things.
And Green Bay did that without Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
Aaron Jones.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, touchdowns.
Just keep giving the ball. He was the tiniest of holes. He just ran right up the middle.
Unbelievable.
Had no issues going right up the middle all game long.
And then Indianapolis over Kansas City last night at Sunday Night Football. So the question in that game is this. So Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, right? He has an ankle injury. And he clearly, you don't even have to have any knowledge of football. Just if you're just watching it because you just, all right, it's on, or your friend's watching it, or your boyfriend's watching it, or whatever, whatever it is, you don't even have to be a football person to know that that guy was a different player once that injury occurred, right? He was slinging it sideways, for crying out loud. But I don't want to take anything away from the Colts, because the Colts played really good from a defensive standpoint. Justin Houston had a good game. But you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. It's not quite Patrick Mahomes. The Colts had a pretty good game plan. Let's run the ball, and they did it effectively. You know, we don't have to have Jacoby Brissett throw for 4 touchdowns. He didn't have to. He didn't have a touchdown pass. He had an interception, but he also had a touchdown run. And then Adam Vinatieri kicked 4 field goals, and we were burying Adam Vinatieri just a couple of weeks ago, saying he's going to retire any second. Pay attention to the news. Well, now he's kicked 4 field goals at Arrowhead Stadium, and the Colts get a victory over the Chiefs. So a lot more from Week 5. I haven't even gotten to the Steelers game yet. I got a little bit more to say about that one. Also, Daniel Jones loses, and Teddy Bridgewater keeps winning. And what went on in London, England? And there's another little caveat to the London game. We'll talk about all of that as we keep going with Week 5 in the NFL on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with 2 N's. And 1 out of every 4 batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free. It is Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, Monday Night Football. Go back a couple of days, 1 week, 7 days. Steelers beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the Bengals aren't a very good team, but they incorporate a little Wildcat. They got Mason Rudolph a little confident with some short to mid passes. The Steelers were having fun again on Monday Night Football. Okay, so they go and play the Ravens. Now, the Monday Night game was a big deal because by going 1-3 at the end of that game, and watching the Cleveland Browns beat the Baltimore Ravens, and both of those teams were 2-2. The Steelers were in a position, if they beat Baltimore and San Francisco wins tonight against Cleveland, the Steelers would be tied for first in the AFC North, right? Like I said, you don't have to go 11-5 or 10-6 or 12-4 to win the division. You just got to win the division. Doesn't matter. Just get in, win the division. So at Heinz Field, Mason Rudolph is playing, and all of a sudden he gets concussed. And he not only gets concussed, I'm sorry, he looked like he died on the field.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was one of the worst hits I've seen. And well, it wasn't really the worst hits per se, but it was one of the worst reactions to a hit that I've seen. I mean, he went down like, boom. And then you get this combination of players running over and waving frantically to the sidelines to get somebody out there. People are on the ground praying. I thought he was dead. He's asking for movement.
See, you know what's bad? You don't normally see them remove the face mask from a helmet.
Right. Then they remove the face mask.
They didn't even want to take the helmet off. It was like, let's keep the helmet on just to keep his brains intact.
And not only to make matters worse, the cart machine doesn't work.
Yep. You got to walk it off, kid.
So they have to walk. He has to walk it off because the medical cart that is never supposed to fail ever, ever, ever doesn't work. Now, the Steelers saying it was operational error. Whatever. Make sure that works. So unbelievably inexcusable on a thousand levels. You can't even begin to excuse this. I don't care if it was operational error. I don't care if it's a manufacturing error. I don't care what it is. You should never have a medical cart for the safety of your players unable to work. If I'm DeMora Smith, I file a grievance against the Steelers organization the second I get to my office. I absolutely make them pay for that. That's embarrassing. Put a player's health at risk. What if he couldn't walk off? What were you going to do? Like, seriously, what if he couldn't get up?
Carry him.
You got to carry him, like a rolling, like he's a World War I soldier in no man's land. Roll him on a canvas stretcher.
That's what they still do in soccer. They still don't bring a cart on in soccer. They have guys.
Do they really?
Yeah, they have guys who come out there when it's a bad injury. They'll have guys stretcher them out to the sideline, and then they go from there.
Wow.
Because most of the time too, it's soccer, so those guys are rolling around.
True, right, true.
And then they have to bring the stretcher out to get him, and then he pops right back up and comes in and plays like 5 seconds later.
And there's a lot of concussions in soccer, but you're not being hit by a 370-pound lineman going full speed. So all right, here comes Devlin Hodges, who I've never heard of. I had to look him up, played at Samford in Birmingham. Never heard of him. He looks pretty decent. He's leading the team to a touchdown. He's not bad. He's confident. And I'm thinking the Steelers are going to win this game. I think the Steelers are going to actually pull this off. Well, the Ravens march down the field in regulation. They kick a field goal to tie the game. And I'm like, okay, it's going to overtime. Mike Tomlin wins the toss and elects to kick, which I thought was brilliant because the defense was playing so good that's the position you want to be in, right? Play defense. Force them out of some comfort zones. Maybe you get a sack or two. Throw their rhythm off. Get the ball. Kick a field goal. Win. Don't force to get a touchdown. Kick a field goal and win. Great. That's exactly what happened, too. They kick off to the Ravens. Ravens can't do anything with it. Got to punt it. Good punt. Sets the Steelers up. And then a pass from Hodges to Juju Smith-Schuster. Gets some yardage. And then, oh, no. Punch the ball out. Here's a loose ball. The Ravens pick it up. Couple plays later, they're kicking the game-winning field goal. Juju Smith-Schuster, after the game, goes, oh, I feel really bad about this. I got to do a better job. That's funny because you fumbled against the Saints in a must-win game last year, but that's okay. Who's counting? Who's remembering anything of that nonsense? And now, I knew the Steelers season wasn't going to go anywhere, but, you know, there was just that little glimmer of hope that maybe Mason Rudolph would be that kind of quarterback that even, you know, just finds something and clicks and works. And next thing you know, you're pleasantly surprised. They're winning games. They're playing really good, right? Like maybe there was just a glimmer of hope that was happening. But if there was kind of a icing on the cake or like nail in the coffin to use those kind of cliches to the Steelers season, I think this is it. This is it. It's a tough loss. It's to put you two games back of Baltimore with a game in hand for the Ravens. Cleveland's going to play San Francisco tonight, might win this game on the road. I don't know. I mean, just that was just too bad. It was just a sad day. But you know what? You got your third string quarterback. It's, you know, what are you going to do? But you know what? It brings up an interesting point. The Steelers had Mason Rudolph as a backup play particularly well. This Devin Hodges kid played particularly well as a third string. How come other teams completely fall apart with their third string guy? Like Luke Falk can't play in the NFL. He threw an interception on a screen pass, man. An interception on a screen pass. And it got taken for a touchdown. He can't play at all. Oh, you know what was really scary? They say if Mason Rudolph can't go next week against the Chargers, guess who the Steelers have to call up from the practice squad? Paxton Lynch.
Yay!
I had no idea Paxton Lynch was on their practice squad. I was like, oh, no.
You know what? It's going to happen.
Paxton Lynch. Oh, my God.
I think Mason Rudolph is done for the year.
Done for the year. Maybe so. That was a hit, man. That was a hit. It's that brutal reminder that football is a very, very dangerous sport. You start going, oh, yeah, there you go. Daniel Jones lost his first start. Is everything right with the Vikings now? Can everybody calm down and be friends?
I think so. Stephon Diggs will remain with the team.
Okay, so he's
I don't think he's seeking a trade this week.
He's not doing that whole, there's always truth in rumors.
Yeah.
A rumor's not a rumor unless it does. The Vikings beat the Giants. Daniel Jones, listen, there's nothing Daniel Jones can do. His defense stinks. His defense is terrible. Vikings carved him up. He lost Wayne Gallman, I think, was another. He lost another player to injury. Daniel Jones was all right. He's not good enough to take a very bad Giants teams to victories over a team like the Vikings that are talented but just needed to find their way. And that's what the Vikings did. The Vikings are a really good football team, but they're a lousy football team when Kirk Cousins doesn't play well. They're pretty much like any team with a good quarterback. If your quarterback struggles and can't make plays and overthrows guys and can't utilize his receivers, yeah, they're going to stink. And Kirk Cousins, when he stinks, the Vikings stink. And when he's okay, they're, you know, like he did yesterday, 306 yards and two touchdowns, and Dalvin Cook is running all over a team with no defense like the Giants, they're going to win games, and there's nothing Daniel Jones can do. But you know what backup is really doing well? Teddy Bridgewater. Four touchdowns against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's 3-0 since subbing in for Drew Brees. Drew Brees was expected to be out 6 weeks. All right, 6 weeks, which means 50% of that expected time off for the thumb injury has already been played by Teddy Bridgewater. He has now gone 3-0. The worst he can go is 3-3. The Saints would have taken 3-3 for a Drew Brees injury. He's playing with house money now. Man, doesn't even have to show up for work. Now, that was a great performance by Teddy Bridgewater. And that goes to show you, if you can get a solid veteran as a backup, and you believe in him, and he believes in you, and he believes in himself, good things happen. Saw a little bit of highlights from the Tottenham Spurs Stadium, Hotspur Stadium, with the Raiders beat the Bears.
Almost nailed it.
I almost nailed it. It's a nice-looking stadium.
It is. And, you know, I'm always amazed when you watch a game overseas and it's packed.
Yeah,
are they offering free tickets, discounted tickets? Because I can't believe that there's that many Raiders and Bears fans in London.
Just lining up people? I don't know. It seems like a good trip. Like, I'm sure you could find some of those package, like those travel deals, or like, go see the Bears in London, England. Two tickets, hotel, accommodations, all for the low, low price of whatever. I'd do it that way. But I don't know. It's nice to see the London game working out. You know what? There's a question I want to explore. That stadium, I didn't know anything about that stadium. That stadium is new?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a brand new stadium?
Brand new.
They built that from the ground up.
Yep.
Now,
not for this game.
No. Of course not. For the Tottenham Hotspur.
For the Tottenham Hotspurs.
But they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
Where did they used to play?
White Hart Lane.
Was that a dump?
No, it wasn't a dump. It was one of those traditional old soccer stadiums that that you can picture in your mind.
All right, so I got some questions about this coming up, including a very, very big question concerning that stadium. That's coming up next. By the way, the Raiders, they're now 3-2 and look pretty decent. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. And it's a football Monday because, wow, what a weekend. What a weekend. Get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, Bet Online. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus reward on your first deposit. Start betting on your favorite pro or college team. Bet Monday Night Football tonight, Cleveland and San Francisco. Bet every spread, every total, every winner or loser. Heisman Trophy still up for grabs. You can bet on that. Number of prop bets. We spoke to one of the guys at Bet Online last week. He talked about the Khalil Mack sack total, and that was zero. You know, if he had gone under, I think it was 1.5. That was that line set, so you can bet on those kind of different props. Get the fastest odds updates and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, Bet Online. Head over to Bet Online, use your mobile device, join today, use promo code SBNation55. That's SBNation55, and get your 50% welcome bonus. Get into all the action today with Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so I wanted to ask you about this. I'm going to butcher it again. The Tottenham, or am I missing? I'm pronouncing it right. The Tottenham Hotspur Stadium that looked great. Brand new soccer stadium.
Yep.
I read that it cost £1 billion to build this thing. So I'm wondering, with the NFL, because there's this brand new stadium and they've got like rollaway turf for the football stadium and whatnot, could they have a potential Super Bowl site for London, England? And would the American public be okay with a Super Bowl in London, England?
Wow.
No Super Bowl city in America. London, well, England, Super Bowl 55. I think they're already projected that far out, but right, Super Bowl 60, whatever
it is. I think we would need to have a dome, though. A retractable roof, at least.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's
January in late in England.
Yeah, that's going to be some cold weather.
Okay.
But, I mean, wouldn't that be what Goodell's after, where he's trying to expand the NFL globally?
Sure.
To take the biggest game on the road? I don't know if he, that's a tough one.
I think it would be a very, very interesting conversation in the New York offices if it ever came down to, Let us consider putting the Super Bowl in London. Now, Wembley Stadium is a dome, right?
No.
No, it isn't?
There's a little, it's kind of, think back to old Cowboy Stadium.
Got it, okay.
Little hole at the top.
Yeah, because every time I've seen games at Wembley Stadium, it appears darker.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that's the only way I can describe it is Cowboy Stadium, old Cowboy Stadium.
Okay. So maybe the weather does prevent that.
Yeah, it gets
very
chilly
cold
there.
Weather in London, England in January, and without a dome, without the ability to kind of tighten people in.
Seen enough movies in England to know that it snows in London.
But it seemed like a very, very nice crib, and I know Goodell would love to get his paws on that foreign money, that English money for the Super Bowl. But. Could he sell that? Like, I mean, in the end, they don't care. But would American fans go, you are not taking that Super Bowl to London?
See, I mean, but here's the thing.
We're talking about trying to make Monday a holiday.
Yeah, I equate it this way, is that European soccer, they have this tournament called the Champions League, which is all the top clubs in each of the countries compete in a season-long tournament. You know, a whole year that starts, started about a month ago, and it finishes in May. The finals in May. And they, you know, they'll play like a couple, you know, maybe two games a month. And they'll do this throughout the entire year until we get to May, which is the final. And the final is a rotating final, much like the Super Bowl, where the final, you know, one year it's in Italy, next year it's in Germany. It could be in Russia. It could be in England. It, you know, it moves around. I don't know if they would ever take that final and take your top two European soccer teams and move that to, say, Arlington.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if they would do that.
There would be a natural uproar among the fan base, right?
Yeah.
They would say, no, ain't doing that. I think the same thing would happen here.
I think so, too.
What are you talking about? Like, think about how many people were upset, get upset at the NFL for everything, right? Whether it's the big issues like the kneeling, or whether it's things like you can't even do pass interference correctly. And then Goodell would come out and go, we are honored and glad that Super Bowl 56 will be in London, England. I think people will go, no, you're not sending the Super Bowl to London, England. What, are you crazy?
Just think how up in arms people were about the Super Bowl being held in New York.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Or the fact that it was held in Minnesota a couple years ago, even though it's a dome.
They don't want to go.
You can't be outside in Minnesota.
But even then, it's like if you're a fan base, it's like if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, like for Super Bowl 45, and it was in Dallas, and you may not have a ticket, but if you had a car, you could just drive down to Dallas and just be around, celebrate the team. You can't get over to London unless you fly. And a lot of people aren't just going to get on a plane to go out there and just hang around at the Super Bowl. I met a ton of people who didn't have a ticket to the game, but just were there for the week.
And what if it's two fan bases that don't travel?
That's true.
Say it's a Chargers-Niners. I'm just throwing two teams out
there. You better make sure you got a lot of corporate seats filled.
Exactly. I just don't see those two teams having a huge fan base.
So I think Goodell would really love an opportunity to do that. I just think he'd have to walk a really fine line to make sure it happened. It looked like a nice stadium. It looked like a nice crowd, right? Really, good game because the Raiders won. Which is surprising.
Poor Khalil.
God, I want poor Khalil Mack. All psyched up to play his former team, didn't get a sack. But look, John Gruden. In all seriousness here, John Gruden has done a magnificent job already. This was a Raiders team that had to deal with the Antonio Brown disaster, the fallout after that. Then Vontaze Burfict gets suspended for the rest of the season. They're not, in the beginning, did not look like a very good team. A good win over the Broncos, but then, bad loss to the Chiefs, loss to the Vikings. But then he went to Indianapolis and beat a good Colts team. And then without going back to Oakland, they went right to London, practiced for a whole week in London, and then beat a high-flying Bears team that looked like Super Bowl champions the day they beat the Vikings last week. I mean, that's a great job on his part. Now he's going to be at Lambeau Field after the bye week, so he gets a week off. He's got 2 weeks to prepare for the Packers, and then he's got to go to Houston. Those are the next two games on their slate, two road games. So while they get a nice break to be at the home, be with the family, chill out for a while, they got to go back on the road for two more games against Green Bay and Houston. If he splits those games, even if he just wins one but loses the other, that's a major accomplishment. And yes, the Khalil Mack trade is still very stupid. I don't care what draft picks they got for him and how they were working out. It's still very stupid. But he's making the most of what he's got. His young players are playing well. He's relying on Josh Jacobs. I mean, it's they're looking like a very, very good football team. Again, I don't know if they win a division with Patrick Mahomes, but they're a good football team. They're a pretty good football team. So that was kind of a pleasant surprise yesterday. But other than that, I mean, week five produced a lot of great number performances, like the kind of fantasy numbers that you are eye popping. One other game we haven't gotten to was the Arizona Cardinals finally got their first win of the season. Hooray, hooray, hooray.
Yeah. Doesn't that propel, maybe it's I'm giving a little prelude to tomorrow, but that could propel one team to the bottom.
Very true.
Bottom five.
That's very true. You know what the Cardinals win over the Cincinnati Bengals reminded me of? Back when I was a kid, there was this made-for-TV movie about Gilligan's Island. I think it was called Return to Gilligan's Island or something like that. It involved the Harlem Globetrotters. Maybe it was Harlem Globetrotters, Gilligan's Island, whatever it was. In it was... there was an evil mastermind, and he invented robots that could play basketball. And the... in order to save the island, the professor, they brought in the Globetrotters to play these robots. And the professor figured out, they tried to play straight up basketball. and they couldn't do it. And the professor figured out that if the Globetrotters did all their tricks, the robots would be confused and they could win the basketball game. Kind of silly, stupid TV movie, but it was kind of fun for the 80s, right? Or late 70s, whenever it was. That reminds me of the Arizona Cardinals. It's like Cliff Kingsbury at the beginning of the season was like, well, let's just do what everybody else is doing in the NFL. A good combination of running and throwing and running and throwing and running and throwing. And then finally he said, screw it. Let's just do the air raid. And let's just throw it all out. They had 500 yards of offense in their win. 514 yards of offense in their win. And they did a great job. Kyler Murray ran for 100 and threw for 253. All right? So he's got a quarterback now that's got this. He's throwing it around and he's running it around. Fantastic. Finally, just let him loose. Let Kyler Murray be Kyler Murray. See what happens. Runs for a touchdown, right? Running around all over the place. Kick a couple field goals. I mean, good for them. Good for them. 514 yards of offense. Cliff Kingsbury's offense finally pulls out a victory. And Cincinnati, I don't know what to do with you. I'm sorry. Zach Taylor's toast. Not working out. I'm sorry.
At least it's, you know, not, I mean, it's got to make you feel good. At least you know your team's not going to be last.
That's right. At least they're not going to be last. Man, Andy Dalton, my God.
Yeah, he regressed beyond regressed.
Golly.
Or is this the Andy Dalton everyone else knows of that we didn't?
How can you be, like, in all seriousness, it's not, like, Andy Dalton is a decent enough quarterback to be a legit starter in this league. How do you go 0-5 and look like the worst team in the NFL? Don't you think he could produce something of a victory? They lost to the worst team in the NFL, one of the worst teams in the NFL in Arizona, to a rookie quarterback. Andy Dalton's got to be like, I'm quitting. I'm done with this. I'm not staying here any longer. Continuing my career with the Bengals. That's terrible. Zach Taylor, 36 years old. Is he in way over his head? I have no idea, but that feels like the Bengals should be at least 2-3, if not maybe 1-4 at least. But 0-5? My God. All right, so Redskins fire Jay Gruden. We'll talk more about that. Your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Man, there's so much to get to. There's so many storylines in Week 5. It's been great. Like I said, the big takeaway of Week 5 are great performances, the big numbers of guys, real big numbers, the kind that maybe put your team over the top in fantasy, or you got buried in fantasy because you played a guy that had Christian McCaffrey and Aaron Jones on his roster. Which, by the way, if that happens, I don't know what to tell you. But those are the kind of numbers we're talking about. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, in this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Good game tonight between the Browns and the 49ers. Do we know enough about these teams to think this is going to be a clash?
It has the making of it.
Right.
Like, I mean, the storylines behind it, when you read it on paper, this kind of looks like it should be a fun game.
It should be. Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield. With the Browns winning in Baltimore, it makes me feel a lot better than this game. If he had lost, I would have said, well, I'm not a believer. But their win against Baltimore is a pretty big deal. And the 49ers could go 4-0 for the first time since 1990, which I didn't believe. And then, yep, sure enough, it was true. 1990, the last time the Niners went 4-0. So that's basically the thought process of tonight's game is, are the Browns, you know, do we know enough about the Browns to make one statement or the other? And do we know enough about San Francisco? I mean, when you look at San Francisco being a 3-0 team, that neither one of them was in, I don't think San Francisco's ever been in our top five.
No.
Right? Because I'm still not 100%. I mean, no, two road wins to start the year.
I flirted with it last week.
Right? Beating the Steelers despite five turnovers. I mean, that's hard to do, and they did it anyway. Right? So in a sense, we don't really have, you know, you're not really ready to say, oh, the Browns have become, you know, now they've become a team to be, they could regress and become that mystery team again. pretty quickly. So there's an identity crisis here on for both teams. We're not really sure what either team is, but I think it'll be a good game tonight. Should be a good game tonight. I think it has more ramifications for the Browns than it does the 49ers. I mean, if the 49ers lose, you know, they fall back into this group with Seattle who's already 4-1. No big loss, but I think for the Cleveland Browns, you don't want to, you know, you beat the Ravens, you tied the Ravens in top of the division. You want to stay that way. You want to give them a little bit of a cushion. So, you know, it's a little too early for these sort of big proclamations on these games. There's still sort of a feeling out process, but I think this is a pretty good one. This should be a pretty good one. Last night's game I thought was really good. Did you watch that or the Dodgers Nationals?
What do you think?
I think you watched the Dodgers.
I got my Dodgers hat on right now.
Boy, all four baseball playoffs are in action today, starting this afternoon.
Yeah, that's
Tampa.
That's a lot of baseball that needs to be watched.
It does. There's a lot of baseball. You're right. The Yankees and the Twins are going to be the nightcap tonight at Target Field.
Yeah, not so sure about that one.
Yeah. The Yankees have scored 18 runs in two games.
Yeah, that's why I'll probably be watching Browns Niners.
Probably, yeah, most likely. And Garrett Cole struck out 15. So how many will Zach Greinke get against the mighty, mighty Tampa Bay Rays?
Got to one-up him.
At the classic ballpark, Tropicana Field. Major League Baseball.